3. I was thinking the wrong, I have no idea the wrong chapter there. I'm going to read from 5. You're fine in chapter 5. Chapter 5 is the verse I want. I just had a thought come to my mind, but it's Acts chapter 3 it took place, not Acts chapter 4. That was the healing of the lame man. With such boldness that Peter speaks to this man who is sitting outside the temple asking for alms. And it really is incredible what takes place. Peter, in verse 4, Peter fastening his eyes upon him, what John said, said, "Look on us," and he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him and by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Now chapter 5, look at verse 15. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. It really is amazing how the Lord ends up using the life of Peter. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you bless this message. I pray that you be glorified and honored in all that's said and done. Lord, I pray for your mercy and your grace. Lord, may this help us. May it draw us closer to you. Lord, may it strengthen us in our walk. And Lord, of course, if there's anyone here who has never been converted, Lord, we pray for their conversion of that repentance and faith in Jesus Christ alone. Lord, I pray and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Peter really is, he's an incredible man. I just want to look at some lessons from his life here. He is a man that we can learn a lot from. He's a great example. He's an example in leadership. He's an example in a changed life. And that's the focus I want to go from here this evening with this message, the changed life of Peter. It is in Peter we really can see that the Lord can, in fact, change you. Peter becomes a changed man. He's different. So often we begin to believe the lie that you can never change, that you just have to manage who you are instead of allowing God to transform you. But make no mistake about it, He can change you. He took a man who was a fisherman to a fisher of men, to a man who had, as we're going to see, a lot of challenges in his life personally to overcome. And the Lord did a great work in his life. What he did was he changed him from Simon to Peter, from the ordinary to a rock. So I want to look at this in Peter's life. I'm going to look at three things here. I want to look at the challenges that Peter faced in his life, the things that were present in his life that were genuine hindrances to God being able to use him. And then I want to see, secondly, though, the things of character in his life that were definitely going to help him as God used him in his life. And then we'll look at the change, thirdly. So we're going to look at Peter's, the challenges he faced, the character, and then the change in his life. But first off, the challenges that Peter faced. These are the things in his life that needed to change. Just like all of us, we all have things in our life that need to change. Things that hinder our lives from glorifying God as we should. We know the problem areas we have. We know our sin nature. We know the things we struggle with. We know the things that are either weight or sin or whatever it might be that so easily beset us. Yet we have verses like Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Think of all the churches that are doing nothing today but conforming to the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed. That's a powerful word. That's what the Lord does. He does change us, and He can change you. The areas that you're struggling with, He can. You might think, "No, I could not do this. I know where I'm at." No, you are limiting the power of God. He can change you. I remember when I was I went down for my uncle's funeral in Arizona a few years ago. He had died and he had taken his life, and he was a Vietnam vet, Air Force at that, who I was named after, my namesake for that matter. And my middle name was after one of his friends who was killed in Vietnam. And so I went. I had not really seen that side of the family for a number of years, many years. And I went down to preach the funeral, and I come to find out my aunt, who I'd already heard. I didn't come to find out. I did hear that earlier, that my aunt had ended up placing her faith in Christ. They had my aunt and uncle had divorced, although they'd still actually stayed close. It was a very unique situation. They divorced, but they'd stayed close throughout. I don't think there was a time really when they were distant from each other. She still took care of him for years and years and years. And she let me know, though, that, you know, she had heard the gospel, had made a decision for Christ, and even got involved in church for a time frame there. Anyhow, she was talking to me, and knowing that I'm a pastor now in New Guinea and things like that, and we never really had a serious discussion ever. And she was saying, she goes, I know how you grew up. I know who your dad was. And the life, you know, remember, keep in mind, for the most part, I would have been just, and I was one of those bus kids for a short time. Now, when your dad's a rock and roll DJ in Cleveland, Ohio, you're not being raised in a Christian home. You're not. And she just said, so what happened? What happened? By the way, parents, this is the key for all of it. It's simply Christ that happened. It's not so much church, the perfect environment. It's making sure that your kids have a genuine desire for God. That's real. In other words, that the faith changes. That it's no longer mom and dad's faith, but that it's their faith. One of your biggest responsibilities as a parent is to allow them to see that that's what it's all about. That there isn't something else that's grabbing their heart. That they're getting from mom and dad, that this is what life is all about. That responsibility does not lie with the Sunday school teacher. It lies with mom and dad. Christ does transform life. He certainly can change you. He desires to mold you, to change you, to make you a vessel meet for his use. So, Peter, what are some of the areas he had to work on? I think we'll find that many of us have some of the same struggles that Peter had. I'm going to look at two areas here this evening that he struggled with. One, Peter was a man who acted on emotion frequently. He acted whether it was whatever emotion hit him. It controlled him in the moment. He lacked self-control. Today we excuse that in our society. Oh, I'm a person who just speaks my mind. No, you need self-control in your life. You need to learn discipline. That's not something to be proud of. There's a time to speak and there's a time to be quiet. There's a time to speak up and say something. There's another time when wisdom says, shut your mouth. Peter would act on emotion. He was rash. He was impulsive. It led to him being unstable at times. This is no small thing. If Peter's going to be used of God, this needs to change. He's not going to make a very good pastor when he's just going off on emotion all the time. I mean, think about it. We can jump to different time frames in his life. I'm not going to get any of these in order. I'm going to go to one of the very last events that's coming to mind right now because we just covered it here a few weeks ago as we're going through Matthew. When he cut the servant's ear off, when he took that sword, when Christ was being arrested in the garden, remember what I said. Everybody already knows that. He wasn't going for the ear. He was going to kill that man that night. He was acting on impulse. It hit, he was responding. No self-control. It was rash. It was impulsive. You say, I don't do that. Let's go to your home. Let's ask your kids if you do that. Let's ask your kids. Levi got to see it this week. It was really good. Rash and impulsive. I was replacing a light that I just bought for $90 outside my garage. I'm up on the ladder. I have the brand new light sitting right there. getting ready to put it on. And I don't know what I did, must have shook the ladder a little bit, and down goes the light and shatters. $90 just shattered on the ground. It wasn't quite all the way shattered, so I didn't say anything. I walked down very calm. I just took the light and shattered the rest of it. I walked in the house. I said, he was playing basketball next to me. I was going to finish the job. I got my keys. I went to Lowe's and bought another one. So now I have a $180 light that's only worth $90 hanging up in front of my garage. But if the Lord's going to use you, just like with Peter, you cannot be rash. You cannot be impulsive. I mean, think about it. Peter is the man that rebuked the Son of God to his face. Think about that. He was rash and he was impulsive. When Christ was transfigured, I need to preach that message again. That was just such a great thing to study when we went through that there in the book of Matthew. Think of what Peter does. I mean, he's so excited in the moment. This isn't anger taking over now. This is just rash and impulsive Peter. Let's build some graven images right now. Let's just build some images right now. That was funny. I don't know what's wrong with you people. It's like biblical humor. What's wrong with you? Of course, acting on emotion is dangerous. Emotions are a really good thing, but they need to be under control. They're God-given. We need all of them. Every single one has a really good purpose. But we also need an element of self-control about our life, in not allowing the emotions to dictate what happens in any given situation or circumstance. For Peter, if he's going to be used of the Lord, this is going to have to change. Acting on emotion is dangerous. It can be hurtful. And many wrong decisions are made when responding purely out of emotion. Peter's passion was a good thing, but it has to be controlled in the right area. The second thing that would have to change about Peter, and this one point I have a whole nother message on. Peter completely underestimated the power of his own flesh. He did that time and time again. He underestimated the power of his own flesh. And again, you know what event that I'm referring to. That was the night when Christ told him. This was shortly before the arrest of Christ. And the Lord told Peter, listen, this night you are going to deny me 3 times. And Peter, completely believing that that is not true, believing what he's getting ready to say, Lord, that's not true. Lord, I'm never going to do that. Lord, I'm ready to go to prison for you. I'm ready to die for you. That's what Peter believed. He wasn't lying when he made that statement. He was just wrong when he made that statement. We all know what happened a few hours later. Peter began to realize the power of his own flesh. Once a woman spoke up and said, hey, that's one of his followers right there. Just like that, he denied him. It didn't take 1 second. And you could just see the conviction coming in his life, wondering what just happened. Maybe even yet thinking, still in his pride, I got this. I'm all right. I shouldn't have did that. But they hit him again with it. Boom. And he denies again. A third time it happens. Just like Christ told him, you're going to deny me 3 times. And then you still see the compassion of Christ, because the Bible says their eyes lock right there. I mean, they met. The Lord's eyes were on Peter, knowing what Peter was going through at that moment, of the one that he had forsaken all to follow. Now he had just denied him at this grand level, and him knowing the conviction that he's under and the sorrow he's under of Christ saying, it's all right. Remember, Peter, I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. But a problem Peter had as he was trying to serve God was he underestimated the power of his own flesh. There were times he was faced with things that he thought he could overcome. And he was wrong. And his flesh won. That would have to change. Those are some of the challenges that Peter faced. Let's look at some of the things in his life that were very usable of God, the character that he had, what it was the Lord saw in him. And we all have things of character, the things that Lord sees in us that are good and that are right. These would definitely serve as building blocks in his life. Number one, we learned this of Peter. Peter was a man who, we looked at this a little, we talked about Peter as a disciple. Peter was a man who always wanted to know more. Always had questions. Listen, this is really important, you think, of the life of Peter. It really is. Always had questions. Do you know, think about this. Outside of the name of Christ in the Gospels, there's not another name mentioned more than Peter. Peter was always wanting to understand. He was always wanting to know more. Usually, not every time, but usually when you see somebody asking Christ a question, it's Peter that's asking the question. When he didn't understand a parable, guess who the one speaking up is? It's Peter. Lord, I don't understand. The one who asked about the fig tree was Peter. The one asking about how many times do I forgive my brother? That was Peter. The one asking about the end times, that was Peter. It's showing here, by the questions that he is asking, that he has a genuine desire for God. And not only that, though, he wants to do it right. He wants to do it right. He was always asking questions. The Lord can use this. I think my youth pastor, we still talk every now and then when I was a teenager, when I began growing in my faith. I think he probably got tired of all the questions I would ask him. It was constant, constant questions. Peter was always wanting to know. And the fact many times this demonstrates the potential to be a leader. Not only that do we see that in Peter, was he always asking questions, but Peter was somebody who was always involved. He's always involved. He's not the guy sitting by the sidelines. He's involved. If something was going on with Christ, Peter wanted to be there. Understand this, Peter did not want to be there because of Peter. This wasn't like Judas Iscariot, who wanted to be there because of Judas. Judas wanted to follow Christ and was willing to forsake all and follow Christ because of Judas. That wasn't true of Peter. Peter wanted to follow Christ because of Christ. Judas was wanting to follow Christ because he thought it could get a name for him. Boy, if this guy sets up his kingdom, I want to be there. It was all about him. Peter simply followed Christ because of Christ. The reason why he wanted to be everywhere wasn't to be recognized. It was because of his desire for the Lord. There's a big difference there. There are multitudes who claim they want to serve Christ, but it's about them and not about Christ. For Peter, it was all about Christ. He was always involved. He's the guy, I'll talk more about that in a minute, that was getting out of the boat. He is the guy that's making the great confession. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's Peter. Guess who was among the first to the empty tomb? Peter and John. So he not only wanted to know more and understand more and do right, he wanted to be involved in whatever the Lord was doing. He wanted to be part of it. Not for self-promotion, but because he simply wanted to honor Christ. Again, this is a man who forsook all and followed Christ. Thirdly, I think this is very, very important when it comes to faith and serving God, but something we see in the life of Peter. He was not afraid to fail. He wasn't afraid to fail. Listen, the fear of failure will paralyze you, where you would do nothing for the Lord. Nothing. Not only that, he was also, when he did fail, this is sort of a combined, I can make these two points, I'm going to try and combine them into one right now. Not only was he not afraid to fail, But he knew how to learn from his experience with God. He learned how to grow from it. Listen, fear of failure, I think, again, the very first time I preached and the fear I had and how horrible it went down. It could not have went worse. That's what I should be known for, preaching the worst message in the history of, for the last 2,000 years. The pastor physically having to remove me from the pulpit because I froze. That's always great for the confidence of a 15, 16-year-old. It went really well. Thinking, I'll never do that again. I was not about to try that again. I failed. It took the Lord quite a while to get me through that, where I was willing to be willing to fail at something. Listen, you're not going to get very far with your faith unless you're actually willing to fail. You cannot be afraid to fail. And again, the example of this is Peter. And I have a whole sermon based on this as well when Peter got out of the boat. Remember, Christ is walking on the water. The storm is taking place. The wind is boisterous. The waves are crashing. And Peter says, much to the shock of everybody on board, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come on the water.
What?
And then the Lord says, come. And that guy got out of the boat. Do you understand that? He actually got out of the boat. He failed, but he did walk on water. Don't forget that. He still walked on water. He failed. When he saw the wind boisterous, he began to sink, crying, Lord, save me. And of course, you can see much the relief of the other disciples because they're carnal like all of us can be. Whew, I'm glad he sunk just now. But he was the only one who got out of the boat. You're not going to get very far if you're not willing to get out of the boat, if you're going to allow fear of failure simply to paralyze you and just stand on the sidelines with your Christian life. What the Lord knew about Peter, if this guy gets in the right direction and yielded to me, wow, he got out of the boat. And by the way, make no mistake, that experience when he got out of the boat helped mold him. That failure helped mold his life, which is key. The Lord puts experiences in our life to help mold us and change us, and some of those experiences are results of failure. Some of us never grow from those experiences. Again, we just allow them to paralyze us instead of growing from them, learning from them. Peter allowed those experiences to begin to change him, to allow the Lord to use those to change his life. I mean, think of all that Peter saw in his life. Well, not in his life. Let me back that up. In 3 years of walking with Christ. Think of the miracles the guy witnessed. Incredible. The blind made to see, the deaf to hear, the dead raised up, having dinner with Lazarus. Incredible. But many of his experiences involved failure. Falling into the sea, being called Satan by Christ himself, denying the Lord 3 times. What he learned from all of those, he learned from failure. As you do things in life, you're going to fail and mess up. You learn from it. You don't say, that's it, I quit. You learn from it and you grow from it. Allow the Lord to use it to change you. Don't allow it to cause you to quit. So that was another thing that was in Peter's character. He learned from failure. He wasn't afraid of it, and he learned from it. It did not cause him to quit. And then thirdly this evening, I'll cover this quickly, the change in Peter. After the resurrection and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, you definitely see a different man. It's incredible. it really is hard to reconcile the man that you see after the ascension of Christ as compared to the man that you see before the ascension of Christ. He's changed. He's changed. Do you understand that the book of Acts, which is covering, you know, the beginning of the church. The book of Acts, by the way, is not doctrinal. We have so many churches today trying to build doctrine out of the book of Acts. It's not doctrinal. It's historical. It's a historical relevance of what was taking place in the first century, which was a major transitional time from Judaism into the church age. Even the first church trying to figure out, well, how do we do? And think, if you're there, we're 2,000 years removed. It's so easy for us to look back and see it. But they didn't quite understand all the significance of what we talked about this morning, of that veil being rent, the end of Judaism. There was a process that went through, and that process we read about in the book of Acts. And the first, basically the book of Acts deals with two people, doesn't it? That's it, two people. The first 12 chapters deal with the life of Peter. The rest of the book deals with Paul. The two primary men that the Lord was using. Peter ends up, now think about this. If you met Peter in AD 29, before he meets Christ, If you're a fellow fisherman and you know him, and you know how rash he is, you can see him one day when he didn't get any fish. He's in there breaking everything on his boat and everything like that. There was nothing in the water. These stupid fish, they're never there. You would not think that guy's going to change the world one day. But that's how the Lord used him. Really is incredible. We saw a man after the ascension of Christ who is truly transformed. The one now who preaches and thousands get saved. And it wasn't scheduled. Some of you know what I'm referring to right there. He's the one performing that miracle that we read about in Acts chapter 3. With confidence and boldness. Really is amazing the change that we see in his life. Peter ends up being the very first man to lead a Gentile to the Lord. Acts chapter 10. That's Peter. We see him demonstrate now patience when he is arrested instead of being ready to cut somebody's ear off. Instead of ready to fight. He demonstrates grace and patience when he's arrested. When he's beaten, he's changed. We see a man that is now incredibly bold in his faith and not in his flesh. He was very bold in his flesh, not in his faith prior. Now it's switched. Because now he has an understanding of the power of that flesh. It is also thought based on, and this could be a tad bit of a stretch, but there's a lot of good men who believe this in commentaries, that based on 1 Corinthians 9:5, that Peter would take his wife, he was one of them, of those of the apostles that would travel, that would bring his wife with him when he traveled. And of course, we also know that Peter would end up giving his life for Christ. He was martyred. And as history tells us, and part tradition as well, it is said that he was also crucified like Christ was. But not thinking he was nearly worthy to be crucified as Christ was, he asked to be crucified upside down, which they did. And he gave his life for Christ. He was a changed man. Again, I think when the Lord named him Peter, he was showing Peter what he could be. Solid. Not emotional, not rash, a rock, a stone. To change you from the ordinary to something strong. The Lord can do that for every single one of us. He can do it for every single one of us. I wonder what name it is the Lord desires to give you if you would just allow Him to change your life. With heads bowed and eyes closed. Perhaps you're here right now. This message was for Christians, those who are converted. But let me ask this question. Maybe you've been a member of this church for years. Maybe you're a visitor. I don't know. But the most important thing that you need to deal with this side of eternity is what's going to happen to you when you die. So do you know for certain that heaven is your home? Have you truly and genuinely been converted? Not when you got baptized, not when you turned over a new leaf, not when God saved you from a car wreck. But have you genuinely been converted through repentance and faith in Christ alone? Do you know for sure that heaven is your home? Is that settled in your mind? Say, Pastor, that's not settled in my mind. I am not sure. Please, I need you to pray for me. If that's you, just raise your hand. Let me see it where I can pray for you. I won't call you out. But if you want me to pray for you, just raise your hand. Let me see it and I'll acknowledge it. You can put it right back down. Anybody here like that, just raise your hand, put it back down. If you did raise it, I didn't see it. I see a couple of small children as all only hands that I've seen go up. Anybody here like that at all? Just put it up where I can acknowledge it and then put it back down. Anybody? All right. Christian, we can learn a lot from the life of Peter. We see his humanness, his flesh, which all of us can relate to. But do you understand what Christ did for his life? He became one of the men that turned the world upside down. Maybe there's things you've been dealing with and thinking, I can't change this. Or maybe thinking, no, I can't do without this. I know the Lord wants it gone, but I can't. You're wrong. Don't limit what God can do in your life. If you need to come and pray, you come and pray. Father in heaven, bless this invitation, work in hearts and lives. So I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Turn to page 489.